season.
A new season.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
It's a new season.
A new season. It's a new day.
Hallelujah. It's a new season.
New season.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
A new season.
New season.
Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. It's a new season, new land, new territory. Embrace the new. We let go of the old. We let go, we let go. Father, we just glorify you tonight. Lord God, we thank you for the new season. Father God, we thank you for the new day. Lord God, even now, we just declare, Lord God, that there's a fresh anointing for this new season. And I hear the Lord even saying that just as I anointed Joshua and Caleb with a different spirit to move into a new place, so shall I anoint you. And the Lord would say, even unto you where the enemy had tried to keep you in the back, today is a day of divine reversal where I shall bring you to the front. And the Lord says, even as you felt paralyzed and you felt like you weren't able to move, as Mephibosheth, he wasn't able to move and he was stuck in a season. The Lord says, I shall call men and I shall assign angels to bring you into the place where you need to be. And the Lord says, I shall bring you and seat you at the table where you shall feast at my table. You shall not be behind. But the Lord says, I shall anoint you with a kingsly anointing, and this day I shall array you with the garments greater than that of Solomon. For truly I have called you my children unto this time, and truly I am saying that I am causing you to arise in faith and step out. For where the enemy had tried to kill the dreams, and where the enemy had tried to cause you to fall back into doubt, I'm calling you unto greater today, and I'm saying, dare to dream with me, dare to take up what I'm placing on your heart, and watch me move in the midst of you. Watch me go and drive out your enemies. For as I drove out the Amalekites, as I drove out the Philistines, and as I caused my children, as I caused my people to occupy the lands, I shall cause you to occupy the lands. And the Lord would say, even with discouragement had tried to assail your heart, and where the enemy had tried to steal your peace, the Lord says, I'm giving you rest in this time, and I'm exchanging beauty for ashes, and I'm exchanging joy for mourning. For the Lord says, your light has come today, and I have come to comfort the heart that has been broken. And I have come to bring acceptance in the beloved to the rejected. For have you not known my love for you is unconditional? Have you not known the love that I have for you is that of an eternal love? And I shall bring you unto me, and I shall show you great and mighty things this day. For behold, I come before you as a mighty rushing wind to move on your behalf and to blow away everything that the enemy has put. For truly I shall emerge in the midst of you as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord mighty in battle, and I shall fight for you, and I shall be the one that would bring you into the land so that you would reap the spoils. Son and daughters, I have brought you into a place of victory, a place where you can rest and a place where you can cease from your works so that you can taste and see that I am good and my love for you has never left. Have I not promised that I would not leave nor forsake? Have I not promised that I would seal you until the very end? And have I not promised that the enemy would not pluck you from my hand? For this day I'm bringing a renewal of strength, and I'm causing you to mount up on the horses, and you shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. For the streams of refreshing are overflowing in this place right now. Hallelujah. Come on and just lift your hands and receive what the Lord has for you tonight. Father God, I just declare, Lord God, every over-weary soul, I declare new life in the name of Jesus. I declare, Lord God, a polishing, Lord God, where the enemy had tried to apply fire, I declare, Lord God, that we shall come forth as refined gold, that the fire shall be applied for your glory, O God. Father, I declare new strength. I declare streams of refreshing. I declare, Lord God, that you revive the soul of the distressed and the broken. I declare new life in this place, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of God, for fresh on us, we need your presence.
Your kingdom come,
your kingdom come,
your will be
done,
here as in heaven. Can you just lift it with me, Father? We just declare over every seed tonight, Lord God, a multiplication. We declare, Lord God, a harvest. We rebuke the devourer from over our finances. And we declare, Lord God, I just make a declaration over every life, that we're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, Lord God. We are lenders and not borrowers. We declare, Lord God, open doors and favor. We declare houses and land. We declare promotions in the name of Jesus and divine connections. Father, we declare, Lord God, your abundance of rain, even in this season. And we thank you for increasing our barns. We thank you that you're a source. We thank you for the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' name, you may give unto God.
Here as in heaven.
Spirit of God,
Spirit of God, for fresh on us,
we need
your presence.
Your kingdom comes,
your kingdom come, your will.
Your name be done,
your will be done.
Let's just sing that again. Overflow.
Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love. Surround us.
You're the reason we came.
You're the reason we came. To encounter your love. Your love. Surround us.
Let's just sing it again. Say, overflow in this place.
Overflow in this place.
Overflow.
Fill our hearts with your love.
Fill our hearts. God is good, amen. The presence of the Lord is here tonight. We honor your presence, Father God. We reverence your presence, Jesus. We reverence your presence, Jesus. May you be glorified, God. May you be glorified, Jesus. We worship you alone. We bow before you and we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this house. And we declare, oh God, that this place will be filled with your Spirit, oh God. That your glory will rest in this place, Jesus. Lord, we declare, oh God, that we will know your heart, oh God. That your heart will flow in this place, oh God. We want to overflow, Jesus. We want to overflow, God. We want to overflow. Send your presence, God. Send your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Good night. For those who don't know, my name is Karen. Some call me Karen, some call me Pastor Karen. Call me as you wish. Doesn't matter to me. Bless God for the worship team. Amen. Yeah. And the band. Those guys did an excellent job. Thank God for Prophet Kyron. Such a wonderful person. He's one of those people that you just look forward to seeing. Yeah? He puts a smile on my heart every time I come in and I say, bless God, Robosha. Brosha. Broshandai. That's my bro, man. He wouldn't mind. That's my buddy. He's not here, so I could talk. But he's a good guy, amen? Tonight I'm going to share about apostolic leadership. And I'm really going to reiterate, clarify, and enlighten about the apostolic, the need for apostolic leadership. And really and truly what the mandate for us in this season should be. Yeah? For those who don't know, Prophet Brent is in Turks and Caicos on a ministry assignment. So we keep him in prayer. And he asked for me to minister. Turned to your neighbor and said, what did he do? He asked me, yeah. Bless God for that. They say when you cut so away. I'm just playing. So, the need for the apostolic. Why do we need the apostolic? The apostolic comes from the word apostle, which means the sent one. And I'm just going to go back a little bit. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, right? And we know that from Genesis 1:1. And God went forth and he made everything, and he said it was good. And then he went on and he made man. Now, a lot of people say that man was made for worship. And that's not entirely wrong. Man was made to worship God. But initially, man was made to have dominion. Man, we were beings created to have dominion. He made the earth for man. And he said, subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And he went forth and he established the first mountain, which was governmental. The first law that he laid down was in Eden. And he said that you could eat from any tree in this place, except for the tree of good and evil. And he actually laid down the law, which was the governmental mantle that was established. And Satan came in as a serpent and manipulated the woman, and she disobeyed. In that disobedience, she gave him the right to that mountain. In that disobedience, she gave up her dominion, and he snuck in and he took it. Why should he need a mountain? Why would he need these mountains? And if you don't know, I'm speaking of the seven mountains of influence. Why would he need these mountains? You see, God created the earth. The earth is the planet which we live on. But the world is the system that controls the earth. The world is made up of countries, and countries are made up of towns and cities, and they are governed and instituted by certain systems that have been established. Why would Satan need to take over these mountains? Why would he need to manipulate this thing? You see, he has a limited resource. He only has a certain amount of demons. He can't go and make a new one. He has to work with what he have. So he has to be as efficient as possible and strategically place principalities in specific places to control what happens on earth. So man sinned, and he gave the rights to the mountain of government over to the serpent. For years, the church have preached a quantitative gospel. That's a gospel of numbers, which isn't wrong. They said, go ye therefore into the world, which is the Great Commission, and preach the gospel. And we focused on the big crusades. We focused on the numbers. We focused on winning souls. And thousands of people came to Christ. But we didn't focus on the qualitative gospel, which is the gospel of discipleship. You see, I believe less is more. If you follow Christ, and he was the perfect leader, he's the perfect example of our apostolic leader. Amen? If you don't believe that, well, then he is not a Christian. But Christ, he spoke to the multitudes. He preached to the multitudes. But he had 12 around him. And these 12 is who he discipled. You see, the church focused on numbers. We focused on going out there and saving souls and winning souls and getting them all in. But while we were winning them, we didn't disciple them. There was no training process that took place. So as they came in, they went out. Satan's plan from day one was to use influence. And that's why he established himself and set himself up to govern these seven mountains. The mountain of religion, the mountain of media, government, education, economy, arts and religion, and family. He strategically placed himself in these mountains and influenced them, while the church focused on one mountain, which was religion. And we had the mindset that if we scream loud enough from the top of that mountain, that we could conquer the world, which was wrong. For us to conquer the world, we need to conquer the seven mountains. And this is where the need for the apostolic leaders come in. You see, God is going to send a people that is going to come in and influence these seven mountains. But how is it going to happen? Initially, in the church, we practice what is known as an overt operation. We come head on. So if you're in workplace, Rabba Shanda Dalabasa, God is good. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Be baptized. And the whole workplace, I don't know, you're a Christian. You had the word on your bumper. You had the little fish. And the WWJD. You wear the T-shirts. Which nothing is wrong with. If you have that, I'm not condemning you. But we haven't been covert at all in our operations. And that's where the devil beats us. Satan never appeared to anyone with horns, a pitchfork, trying to persuade them. No. He's always stealth. He also infiltrates. So the time you realize that he operates, and it's too late because he done in and out. What I'm saying is, it's time for the church to do some stealth operations. Yeah, we serve Jehovah Jireh, but we also serve Jehovah Bond, the God of the stealth. He could come, yeah. He could come in and move and operate. And you know what's the big thing? Nobody needs to know that he's there. And that is the reason why we haven't been infiltrating the seven mountains. Because if you speak to the avid person out there and you mention Christianity, the first thing they do, they put up a wall and they say them church people is hypocrite. They already have that mindset. But how many know that God is enlightening us and enabling us with the power to go into institutions, go into organizations, and not have to, nothing wrong with professing that you're a Christian, you know, but we don't have to walk with the podium and preach to the masses. No. We influence using biblical principles. The principles are the, and you know, the silly thing is that the billionaires and those who control the fears of influence right now, they use biblical principles. Yeah. They give. They sow. They don't go to church. That's why they're rich. It's a law. If you sow, you must. Amen. So, we're coming to a time where God is going to call us into a place of stealth operation. And this is the need for the apostolic leadership. We look at David, in 1 Samuel 16:17, right? And a little bit before that, God had appointed Saul as king over Israel, right? And he gave them specific instructions. He spoke to Saul and he told Saul, here's what. I want you to go and kill this army and destroy everything. Everything that concerns them. Saul went forth, but he didn't listen to what God said. He destroyed the armies, but he kept the sheeps. Sheep. Oh, good. I say sheep, yes. Gary, you just edit out that. All right. Bless your heart. Isn't that funny? Like I was saying, he killed the armies, but he saved the sheep. And God spoke to Samuel, and he said that Saul disobeyed my commandment. He disobeyed what I told him to do. And Samuel was... he was vexed, got upset. And he went to Saul, and he said, you disobeyed what God said. Saul said, no. I kill everybody. Saul said, no. It has sheep there. He said, it has sheep there. You didn't kill the sheep. Saul said, bless your heart, Molina. Saul said, he said, I keep the sheep to sacrifice them unto God. He said, no, because you reject God's assignment, God's instructions, I reject you as king over Israel. And he lost his place. On the other side of town, there was this little guy by the name of David tending to some sheep. Sheep. And while he tended to the sheep, the Lord spoke to Samuel and told him to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. God sent him to the mountain of business. Observe it. He was tending to sheep. He was doing his business. His father was a businessman. God sent him to the mountain of business and spoke to Jesse and said, I came to anoint one of your sons. Say, okay. And he brought out all the sons. And he said, no, it's none of these guys. And the Lord sent him He said, "Is that one more?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Bring him." He brought him. Was this little scraggly looking boy? I could picture this dirty looking scruffy boy. He playing with sheep all day. And when he poured the oil and he anointed the boy, he was chosen. And it was strategic that David had to care for these sheep. And what I'm saying to you before I move on is because God has you in a position, some of us right now, where we're tending to sheep. We got the prophecy of kingship, but we're in the place of pasture. And our ambition has us in a place of depression because we're saying to ourselves, "I am not fulfilling purpose and destiny." But if you have the eye of Christ, if you see with heavenly eyes, God strategically have you in that place right now. Because if you can't conquer these sheep, if you can't conquer the pasture, you can never conquer the kingship. So God called him and he anointed him as king. And he probably didn't even know what was going on. He went back to his sheep. And during this whole process, something happened to Saul. He was possessed. Spirits started to torment him. And he spoke to his servant and he said, "I need somebody who could play a harp." Notice the first mountain was the mountain of business. Second mountain, mountain of arts. And look, we're looking at influence. The servant said, "Yeah, one of the sons of Jesse, the boy bad, could play a harp in the tail." "Man, you not leave, man, man. The boy could play a harp." King Saul said, "Fetch me that boy." So they brought him. And notice David was skilled. He was, he couldn't only Roboshadabasa. He was skilled. He knew what he was doing. So the mountain of arts opened up for him. And because he was blessed with that talent, he went to the king, to that one man, and he played. And the Bible said that Saul liked him. He got favor. Notice this. Favor comes when you are in alignment of your purpose, because this is when the people that God has set you up with finds a divine connection with you and allows you access to what they have. So if you're not in divine alignment, how could you be in favor? How could favor come? God gave them favor with Saul. Saul liked him. That was his second. So he influenced the first mountain, which was business. The boy was good at the business. The second mountain, which was arts, he was skilled at what he did. Now comes the third mountain. David frequented Saul, would play for him often. And one of the times, his father sent him, say, "Carry this down for your brothers." He went, and when he reached, there was this huge problem facing his country called Goliath, the mountain of government. David was vexed. He said, "Who is this man? This uncircumcised Philistine that would dare rise up against my God?" Notice this. David noticed a problem that was facing his country, the little sheep boy, and it stirred and activated something that was on the inside of him. Within that activation, an opportunity arised. Somebody heard what David said and spoke to Saul. And when Saul heard it, he sent for him. Notice, David already had favor with Saul because he could have played the harp. See everything piecing together right now? Saul say, "You can't fight this man." David said, "Give him a chance." He said, "But boy, you can't even hold a sword. You can't even hold a shield." David said, "Oh God, give him a chance." That's stirring on the inside. That thing that was activated wasn't something that was spiritual. It wasn't something that was physical. It was something that was spiritual. Something that was imparted into him from birth. It was the alignment of his purpose and his destiny. He didn't even know it yet. Saul allowed him the chance. And he killed Goliath. I'm just saying, right now our country is facing a problem. And we're looking to the people that be. Probably the solution is in the hands of a sheep boy. So we're seeing here that David first conquered the business mountain, secondly conquered the arts mountain, and thirdly he conquered government. And you see how important influence was? Because he had influence on one man, which was Saul, he got access to face Goliath. If he didn't have influence over Saul, he could not have faced Goliath. And some of us, because we see that we're congregating with twos and threes, but God called us to thousands, we're saying to ourselves that we're missing the mark. But because you have influence over the twos and threes, that will give you access to the thousands. Do not despise humble beginnings. Do not despise your humble beginnings. David was but a sheep boy. And some of us wrestling with sheep right now. When you're wrestling with sheep, you're dirty. You can't dress like you want to dress. When you're wrestling with sheep, it's tiresome. And sheep are stubborn. Some of us trying to start a business, but the workers, stubborn. We're trying to walk forth in purpose and destiny. But the people around us, they're stubborn. And you're praying to God. You're saying, God, take me away from these people. No. Because if God take you away from these people, you would have bought purpose and destiny. You have to learn to conquer the sheep before you could sit on the throne. It is so important for us to understand the importance of a stealth operation. When Christ came, he prayed and he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. From the original plan, God wanted to set up his kingdom on the earth. Setting up this kingdom meant that he would establish these mountains. These mountains were meant originally to be held by the positions of those who are godly. When we give Satan access to the mountain of government, it deterred the original intent of how the earth was supposed to function. The only way in which we could conquer the earth, conquer the world, and turn this world into what it was originally intended to do is if we conquer these seven mountains. But we could only conquer these seven mountains if we do it strategically. We're speaking about apostolic leadership. And when you look at it, the world is made up of countries, right? Countries are made up of cities. Cities are made up of towns. Towns are made up of organization and institutes, homes, and homes are made up of individuals. An individual governs a home. Now, when that said individual encounters the Spirit of the Lord, and comes into a place of transformation. He could now align his home into a place of transformation. So his home is transformed. When that home is transformed, what happens next? The institutions. You could go to work now as a transformed being in your workplace and influence that organization. But it can't happen if you go there speaking Christianese. They won't understand you. One of the reasons why Joseph was so effective, he spoke Babylonian. When he was in Babylon, he could have speak Babylonian. That's one of the reasons why he was so effective. They could have understand what he was saying. He looked like them. He spoke like them. But he had a mind of Christ. He looked like a Babylonian, but he took like a Jew. When you go into your organizations, you might look like an engineer. You might look like a doctor. You might look like a chicken man. Nothing wrong with that. But selling chicken. Hey, I like chicken. But this is the thing. You have to have the mind of Christ, which will bring transformation. See, only when you as a transformed being step into your divine alignment, you could shift that organization into a place of alignment, and then that organization could shift the town and the cities into the place that it's supposed to be. Therefore, we could have a kingdom nation. If you want to see change in Trinidad and Tobago, it cannot happen unless we have transformed minds. That is apostolic leaders. What is an apostolic leader? That is someone who aborts their personal, selfish ambitions and say yes to the divine will of Christ. When we look at the Bible, you think Moses wanted to lead the children of Israel? No. But after his burning bush experience, he said yes. There was a transformation that took place, and he stepped into purpose and destiny. And he became an apostolic leader. We can only become apostolic leaders when we say yes to the original intent of the purpose that God had for our lives. You see, some of us, when we were created, God created us with a specific purpose. But because of circumstances, situations, and influence, we diverted from that original purpose. So God originally made it for you to be a cricketer. But your mother decide cricket don't make money. So you go in and be a doctor. You're diverted from the original purpose and plan that God had for your life. Now you're a doctor and you're miserable. You must be even making money because you're miserable and now you have a gambling problem, gambling all your money, and you're not happy. If you had stuck to your original purpose that God intended for your life, then you would have been in a place of influence. You know, when I really saw the impact of influence was recently when West Indies won the cricket. Yeah. Because this guy, God bless his heart, decided to make a song. And the man can't sing. Now listen, I don't understand how that bothered me, boy. I hated that song. When I hear that song, I vex. God, I would jump out the taxi. This man win the T20. And all of a sudden, his influence expanded. And the world was exposed to him. And he got favor. Now the whole world. find myself hiding. I don't want my wife to see me. Because she know I don't like this song. So when she not looking, champion. But honestly, because he said yes to the original plan for his life, he decided to be a cricketer. And you know how much people must tell him, boy, you're a smart boy. Bat and ball, like a career, no way. You know how much people must tell him, why you don't get a real profession? Cricket don't make money. Honestly, how many successful cricketers do you know? Count on your hand. Okay, all right, stop counting. But what I'm saying is, it would have been very easy for him to be deterred from his original purpose. But he stuck with it because something was activated on the inside of him. And he got a passionate drive. He had this passion that burned inside Prophet Kyron. He couldn't stop playing cricket. And at the right time, opportunity presented itself. And he said yes to the opportunity. That gave him influence. And that influence gave him favor. And you know what that favor gave him? Money. When you say yes to the original intent, to what God designed you to be, regardless of what. I don't care what it is. If it's playing badminton, playing chess, cricket, if it's washing cars, cooking food, making clothes, designing cars, whatever activates you on the inside and cause that passionate burn, people might try to deter you and say, that don't make no sense. You say you want to open a new business. The Trinidadian market. Trinidadian don't like them thing. You wear your own clothing line. Trini don't wear them thing. All them Cosco colors, you ain't gonna get through. But you know you had this burning passion on the inside that was activated from birth. And you say yes. The same person who tell you they don't wear that, wear the most Cosco colors. Because you said yes to your purpose and destiny. There was a divine alignment. And now, Bravo has influence over that mountain. He have influence over that mountain. The guy was singing for the opening of IPL. The man had more plays on YouTube than Marshall. With one song. Influence. Influence. When you become an apostolic leader, one of the most important things, one of the most important attributes is passion. You have to be passionate. Question yourself, am I passionate about what I do now? And if the answer is no, then you're in the wrong place. You need to realign your life. Because if you are not passionate about what you go to job, to work to do, day in, day out, and if you're only doing it for money, then you are not in divine alignment. It will not make sense. I remember reading a book once. The name of the book was 100 Great Ideas and the People Who Created Them. And it spoke of this guy who created the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. That guy who created the vacuum cleaner, he tried 5,227 times to create a vacuum cleaner. Where he put all the old vacuum cleaners that didn't work? You could picture the arguments this man had with his wife. Oh God, I can't enjoy my house. Vacuum cleaner all over my living room. You can imagine what people telling his children in school. Look the crazy boy who father trying to make the machine. You know, if I pass by them house, once at a whole thing in the front of the yard. But on 5,228, he struck gold. Who don't always a vacuum cleaner? He changed the world. Perseverance and passion. There was a guy by the name. Let me forget that story. I'm going to go to our next story. There was this guy, right? Yeah, Harold stories. I'm working in the library. What do you expect? All I do is read. There was this guy, right? When he was 19 years old, he met the love of his life. Met the love of his life. And they got married. They had a child. He joined the army. When he came out of the army, he decided to go and take a job in a diner because it was pressure. By that time, he had two children, a very low income, a frustrated wife. Eventually, that wife left him. He worked until he was 60 in this diner. He retired. A tired man, battered over those 60 years of working in a diner. That come like 60 years of working in Subway or 60 years of working in KFC. Yeah, that's the equivalent. When he was 60, he was looking forward to his social security check. That's what they have in America. It's kind of equivalent to his pension. When he got his first check, it was $125. This man heart broke in pieces. After 60, all I'm making is $125. He had one passion that developed over those 60 years. And he's a man after my own heart. He was passionate about chicken. You see, over all the years that he worked in the diner, he developed a specific recipe. Catch where I'm going. This man get one pot, a pack of chicken, and jump in the car and went to his neighbor and say, "Hey, what's going on, girl? I'm selling some chicken here. What is it? $5 for a bucket." He start hustling chicken out the trunk of his car. Fast forward, that guy end up being a multi-millionaire. His name is Colonel Sanders, and everybody knows what KFC is. Because he conquered, listen, he conquered his pasture. He learned to conquer his sheep. So when the opportunity presented itself, he said yes, gained influence, and that influence gave them favor, and he did that selling chicken. Whatever you are passionate about, whatever you are passionate about, that is what God called you to. You want to know what is your divine assignment? You know, you just know that Prophet Chiron. If you walk into a place and you hearing music and the chords in that song off and it irks you, the background singers off key and you just carry it uneasy. People liming and relaxing and you like this. You're asking yourself, these people are hearing that? You call to the mountain of arts. That's because you're passionate about music. And it burns on the inside. If you're a person When you're walking down the road, it irks you if you see a young lady and she tracks showing. When you pass, she say, but she couldn't comb she head. God called you to be a hairstylist because that's what you're passionate about. If when you walk in, you say, but them colors don't even match. Where she get an outfit? Fashion is what you call to. If it irks you when you read a misprint or you see somebody put out a bulletin and they spell something wrong or there's incorrect grammar, you are called to the mountain of education. If your heart is moved every time you see someone sick, you are called to the mountain of medicine. Understand what I'm saying? Whatsoever you are passionate about, that is where your destiny lies. And in that destiny, if you conquer your pasture, an opportunity will present itself. You will get influence, and that influence will give you favor, and you could change the world. But what are we doing? What are we doing, Prophet Chiron? You see, because Lucifer years ago, he stole the keys to the mountains of influence. That influence, our generation, they no longer have any identity. They are shaped and fashioned by what they see and hear. They neglect divine purpose, and they do the norm and fall into the maintainer syndrome. I was looking at a guy and he was saying, excuse me, he was one of those guys, he works in Tommy Hilfiger. He's a designer. And he was boasting and he said, go into your children's closet if they're between the age of 13 and 19. And when I look at the clothes they wear, the posters on the wall, and the music they listen to, I could tell you, because I know them personally, the five men that are discipling your children. That's what he said. And the truth of the fact is, that is what is going on. Our children are being discipled by these guys who run these seven mountains. While we in church, Rabba Shaka Rabba Seke, they listening to the filth, wearing the clothes, and idolizing the people with the filthy lifestyle. When we come into the place of divine alignment and say yes to the purpose that God had for our lives, and we gain influence in these seven mountains, we could now disciple a nation. How you expect for us to have a sheep nation if we don't have any influence? It can't happen. We have been focusing on conquering one mountain. That's religion. And we barely doing a good job at that. Where are the people that will stand up and say yes? Where are the people that will stand up and say yes to that governmental mountain? Listen, the reason why we are seeing a recession is because the person that's supposed to be heading that mountain is not in divine alignment. You know why? Because when you say yes to Jesus, you are his child. And you are a governor of heaven. And there's no recession in heaven. And that divine authority and dominion that is upon your life would flow through your mountain when you are established. But we are not seeing that because the people who are in place, they are greedy. What's the number one reason for the world's recession? Is corruption. What's the number one reason for corruption? Greediness. You had to ask yourself, these people not seeing what's going on? They don't care. We thinking change will come when our next party come. Change could come when this party in. Change could come when that party in. No! Change will come when that divine alignment happens and the person that's supposed to say yes to that mountain of government stands in his place, gains influence, and gets favor. But until that happens, burn your belt. Tonight, I said a lot. I don't know, sometimes I could tend to be humorous. But the truth and the fact of the matter is, there are people out there dying and going to a Christ-like eternity because we are not saying yes to our purpose. We are not saying yes to our destiny. We are not stepping in that place where we are passionate because we are fearful. We are afraid and we are not trusting Jesus because who would pay our bills? If you leave your job and start that business, who going and pay your bills? But when you get favor, trust me, it equates to money. There was this guy that came from a specific high school. And when he was in that high school, he worked really hard to be the top athlete. He got the most medals. When you looked at the medal shelf, you only saw his name. He worked really hard. He became very influential in the area of sports. And as time passed, they asked him to revisit the school to give a speech. And he was eager because he remembered all that he did. When he went to the school, he looked for the trophies, and he couldn't find one. He went to the back of the school, and he saw a pile of rubbish. And when he glimpsed through, he see the trophy with his name on it, and it cut him deep. When it was time for him to give his speech, he stood up and he said, "Children, in all that you do, live for God. Because everything else will equate to rubbish." Thank God he was a godly man. Many of us working so hard to attain physical achievements. You're working hard on that degree. You're working hard to build a house. You're working hard to fill that account. But Solomon said, "Vanity to vanity." He said, "I did everything that was imaginable under the sun. And I came to this one conclusion. It's all foolish chasing of the wind." He said, "Love God and keep his commandments." When you are not in your divine alignment and you run down physical things, it will never give you satisfaction. It will only equate rubbish. Tonight, my call is to those of us who know they're not in that place they're supposed to be. And I'm not talking about you're not in that place you're supposed to be with God. You're not in that place of divine alignment to become the apostolic leader that God called you to be. The people that your passion is clothes, but you're selling food. The people that your passion is medicine, but because you was rejected in school, you think that you don't have what it takes to do it. My call tonight is to those of us who want to say yes to the divine purpose and intent that God had for our lives. If that is you tonight, I want you to stand. If you're in a place where you know there's something that you're passionate about, but you're not doing it, and you want that help, that encouragement to walk your purpose and your destiny. Tonight, I just want you to stand and come forward. Tonight, as we enter into a time of worship, we worship you, oh God. We praise your holy name. Let you alone be praised. Your name be glorified. Your name be lifted high. We worship you, oh God. For you alone our King, for you alone our God, we worship you, O Lord, we worship you, O God. Lord, break me, Lord, shape me, I'm ready to be what you call me to be. Lord, break me. Lord, shape me. Shape me.
Shape me.
I'm ready to be what you
call me to be.
I will do what you want me to do.
I will be
what you called me to be.
I will do
what you want me to do.
I will be
what you want me to be.
What you want me to be.
Lord, I will do.
I will do.
What you want me to do.
What you want me to do.
And I will be.
And I will be.
What you called me to be.
What you called me to be.
I will do.
I will do.
What you want me to do.
What you want me to do.
I will be.
I will be.
What you called me to be.
What you called me to be.
Lord, break me.
Break me.
Lord, chain me.
Chain me.
I'm ready to be what you want. Break me, oh God, Lord. Break
me.
Shame me, oh God.
Shame me.
I'm ready, oh God.
I'm ready to be.
I'm ready, oh Lord. Break me, Lord.
Break me.
Shame me.
Shame me.
I'm ready to be. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Break me, say, Lord, break me.
Break.
Lord, would you shame me?
Shame.
Oh God, I'm ready to be what you want.
Break
me, oh God, would you
break?
Break me, oh God.
Shame me.
Shame me.
I'm ready.
Shame me.
Shame me.
I'm ready, oh God.
I'm ready to be what you want me to be.
Father God, I declare, oh God, that you would give them strength, oh Father. Give her peace, oh God. Lord, I declare, oh God, that she would walk in divine alignment, Father God. I declare that she would walk in divine alignment, Father God. Lord, she would be courageous and step out and say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. Father God, give her that gift, oh God. Divine alignment, Father. Divine alignment, Father. Divine alignment, God. Divine alignment, Father God. Lord, call her into that place of purpose and destiny. And she says yes, oh God. Divine alignment, Jesus. Divine alignment, oh God. And she says yes, oh God. Lord, I declare, oh God, divine alignment, Father. Divine alignment, Jesus. Divine alignment, oh God. Divine alignment, Jesus. Divine alignment, oh God. Divine alignment, Father. Father, divine alignment, as she says yes, oh God. Shift her into that place of purpose and destiny.
I'm ready to be what you want me to be. Lord, break me. Break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me. Shape me, shape me. I'm ready to be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me. Shape me, shape me. I'm ready to be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me. Shape me, shape me. To be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me.
I declare divine alignment, Jesus. Shift her into that place, oh God. Father God, I declare divine alignment. Shift him into that place, oh Father.
Break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shape me, shape me.
Father God, divine alignment, Jesus. Divine alignment, God. Set her feet straight up on that path. Father God, I declare divine alignment. Divine alignment, oh God. Bring her into that place of purpose and destiny, Father. Set her feet straight up on that path.
Ready to be what you've called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. Lord, break me, break me, shake me, shake me. I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, when it's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself
is not
what you have required.
You search much deeper within.
Search much deeper within,
to
the way things appear.
You're looking
into my eyes.
I'm running back, oh God, say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship,
where it's all about you.
Where it's all about you.
It's all about you.
I'm sorry, Lord, say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Where it's all about you. Where it's all about you.
It's all about you.
I'm coming back, sir.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Where it's
all about you.
Where it's all about you.
It's all about you.
I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you. All about you.
It's all about you.
All about you, God. It's
all about you.
It's all about you, yeah. It's all about
you.
All about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close.
Nothing can compare. You're
presence.
Your presence, Lord.
I tasted and seen. I tasted and seen, say.
I tasted and seen of the sweetness of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is under
your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Let's sing it again. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more, say. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
I tasted and seen. I tasted and seen. Say, I tasted and seen of the sweetness of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is done, your presence, Lord.
Your presence,
say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Come flood this place.
Come flood this place.
And fill the
atmosphere.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
overwhelmed
by your presence.
By your presence.
Say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are
welcome.
Come flood this place. Come
flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, Lord.
Let us experience
the glory
of your presence.
Your Let us become, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become,
let us become
more
aware of your presence.
Let us experience
the glory of your goodness.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your
presence,
Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Flood this place,
come flood this place
and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, say,
your glory, God,
is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We honor your presence. As your presence fills this place, fill this place. As you pour out your presence, oh, my heart connects with you, God. Oh, God, I want more of you. Pour out into a desperate heart, into a desperate soul. Oh, I want more of you. Deep cries out to deep. Deep cries on to deep. I say, I need more of you. I need more of you. I need more. Fill me up, oh God, because I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I will run after you with everything, oh God. With everything, oh God. She anamaye, 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 anama